It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Hey, welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. It's the Grilling Guys. It must be the weekend. We're excited to be here today, and I'm excited because I got rid of Jop for the day, and I've got the lovely Shasta from Old World Olive Company with me here.
Good morning.
Or good evening, depending on which market you're in. But it's going to be one of those shows where we delve into pizzas, because America has a fascination with pizzas. I've been hearing a lot of pizza stories. And just the other day, I saw Papa John getting interviewed on a Timcast, which is a podcast. And that's an amazing story, how that guy started that company. He started when he was like 22. Wow. And he built it into a multi-billion dollar company. And then ultimately, he got bounced by the board of directors. They sort of ripped him off. And that was too bad. But anyway, we're here for good news, not bad news. I don't know that I've ever had a Papa John's pizza.
Yeah, I've had a few.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They weren't nearly as big in Michigan. We had the domino effect.
Right, right, for a long time.
And Little Caesar came along and stabbed the rest of the market.
Yeah.
So myself personally, I kind of like the smaller standalone, the real Paisano pies.
Yeah, you know, the wood-fired ones are good too.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week I went into an awesome experiment on my charcoal grill. I grilled hamburgers. It was really daring.
Step out, Bob.
It was really daring. You know, I bought this cow and I've got all this beef. I think you guys ended up with some.
Yes, we sure do.
And those burgers are so nice.
They're delicious.
So I had a mob over Saturday. It was or Sunday. A bunch of the kids came home. My birthday was last weekend, and a bunch of kids came out and relatives. We had relatives over like every weekend. And I just did up a bunch of burgers. And I used your wonderful spice, the shaker, the little green.
Oh, Seasonello.
Yes.
Yes, that stuff's awesome.
It's like a miracle
cure.
Yes,
it is. Yes, we use it on everything. In fact, the kids have become so snooty now that they're accustomed to having it that when it's out of the house or we're out of it, they won't even eat whatever it was they were going to put it on.
They want to go to Taco Bell instead.
Right, right.
And, of course, I'm batching it again this weekend. Imagine that.
Oh.
Seems like every time I'm on this stinking show, I'm batching it.
Wow.
Something going on here.
Yeah. Seems to be a pattern.
No. But, you know, I get a lot done because I get to do what I want to do.
Sure.
So the other night I went to Al and Bob's. They had a whitetail tracking course, which was really cool. And Thomas Lindsley, our friend from Survivor Sling Cold Steel Tactical, was there. And they had some tracking dogs. And, of course, I got to let Merle and the boys cut up a bunch of new arrows for me and get them all set up. I bought a target. And
wow, you're going hardcore on this.
I know.
Wow.
Well, my other targets were pretty old. And they've got a new style now that's a little easier to pull your arrow out of.
Huh. Amazing.
Because I shoot 72 pounds.
Yeah.
And that arrow really wants to drill into
them. You should watch some of the Olympics right now. They're all doing bow shooting and...
Oh, they're kneeling and shooting?
They were standing when I saw them.
Oh, not when the anthem was on.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, we got... our basketball team got wiped out in the first round by France.
Yes.
Wow. We're proud of the woke generation,
aren't
we? Yeah,
but did you see what they did to
Iran? So nice. No.
They trampled them. Absolutely trampled them. Like 60, I might have been 60-point difference.
So back to the grill. Old World Olive Company's been a partner for us for years, and it's great when Shasta and Corey show up. Corey sits in the corner and giggles. yes. We're going to talk about pizza, and to do some of my research, of course, I had to reach out to my daughter, Emily, because she's got a killer crust recipe, and that's been the area that I've always struggled with. How do you do your crust?
So for a long time, I've been afraid of crust. Just the whole, will it rise enough? Is it stretchy enough? But I think once you just try it a couple times and you succeed or fail, I mean, that's how we get better. Ultimately, you get to a place where you have something that we hope is edible.
Right.
And, you know, I think the key is just the warm water mixture with the yeast and the dough and the proper amount of time for it to rise. Ideally, you know, if you can let it rise for 2 or 3 days, you're going to get a really good crust that's nice and pliable. You can pull it apart.
Do you let it rise in the refrigerator?
No. Mm. Room temperature. Yeah.
I know all the pizza shops make up their batch and then they put it in the refrigerator for a few days.
Yeah, they can put it in there. But when you're getting ready to use it and cook it, you want to pull it out, let it come up to room temperature.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So it's more pliable.
Yep. You know, we had that problem once before, I think. Remember, Bob? We were trying to stretch pizza dough and nothing worked.
I think that was your husband's fault.
Oh, that could be. We'll just blame it on him.
We were both in the kitchen.
So you guys have a Kamado grill, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. From, someone we know.
Yeah. Some very nice person got you hooked up with it. So do you ever do pizza on that?
We sure do. Yeah. In fact, that's one of my favorite because you get a nice smoky flavor to the crust. And I think that because it can get so hot, too, you can control that temperature on it. It's a quick and easy way to do a crust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's some tricks I think we should talk about, at some point in this show here.
Yeah.
In terms of using a grill or a Kamado cooker.
Yep. Couple little techniques that help make a difference.
I made some mistakes when I first got into doing that.
Yeah. Well, we all made
Putting the stone on first is a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah. So you use your cornmeal on a baking sheet, make your crust, build your pizza. Take it out once everything's nice and hot. What temperature do you run that thing up to?
5 to 550 is ideal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just this weekend I was watching a Food Network show with, you know, Michael Simon on it. And they were going over grilling pizzas. And I was actually kind of excited because I knew that that's what we were going to talk about today. And his technique and his tip was put that stone in the grill and leave it in there for about an hour and get your temperature up to 5 to 550. And then when you put that crust in, you only need 3 or 4 minutes because it's so hot.
Right.
You cook your pizza right away.
And the mistake I made the first time was building it on the stone, bringing it out and setting it on the grill.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the crust was just like doggy.
We've done the same quite a few times.
And doggy do.
Right,
I don't like doughy pizza.
I do not either.
Maureen loves it.
I like a crunch.
Yeah.
I like a good crunch.
Yeah, she's all about the crust. So in the next segment, I think we should talk about maybe whatever you want to talk about. I know you've got some secrets there at Old World Olive Company, using oils and stuff, and I've kind of built in some spots for you here that are just perfect. So
awesome.
I think we'll take a little break and we'll come back and let Shasta take over Shasta's Pizza Corner.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey guys, Schmoe's now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoe's as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale. and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys radio program on your favorite network. And today, it is all about pizza. So we're going to talk about making a crust, maybe what kind of sauces are good. One thing I've never done, Shasta, and I'm joined by Shasta from Old World Olive Company. Corey's in the back doing sign language. I just wonder, have you ever tried making sauce?
Oh, yes.
I never have.
Okay, so don't be intimidated by that. It's a good way to get your vegetables in there, and you don't even know. You can throw some celery and some carrots and, you know, blend that up nicely, and you're going to get some extra dose of vitamins. You could use a jarred sauce, but you know what's in your own when you make it.
Well, I do a lot of I roast a lot of tomatoes, and what I'll do very often is not use a sauce, and I'll throw the roasted tomatoes on, and I'll put some of your garlic or your Tuscan EVO
sure.
on top of the crust.
Yeah.
And then put, you know, like I love having different types of vegetables on there, some good Italian sausage.
Right.
But artichokes in particular.
I love artichokes on a pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love artichokes in general, but... You know, Tuscan is a really good oil to use if you don't want a red sauce or you just want something that's a little bit different than what a typical pizza would be. You can use that really as your base. And
so let's back up just a second. And we're talking about olive oils. And I think a lot of people still don't maybe necessarily understand some of the categories or classifications or why you would want to have an extra virgin olive oil and, you know, give us the breakdown on how your business seems to sell so much oil when there are giant box stores selling oil at half the price.
Sure. And that's a really good thing to talk about. So we focus on small batches. We don't focus on pressing and getting the quantity necessarily. We want quality. And so that equates to smaller farms, smaller estates. And we are more focused on making sure that the quality of the oil is still intact and is there versus being able to produce a mass mob of an oil. And so, you know, you'll find some places that you'll see cans of oil or big, you know, jugs of oil. And it's hard to really tell where those have come from, how long those were on a boat trying to get here, how long they sat in someone's warehouse, how long they've been on the shelf that you're going to buy it from. And so with us, we're able to dial back exactly which farmer crushed that oil, what time, how it was harvested, and when it was shipped out to us.
So what percentage of the oil you buy comes from, like, America? California would be, I guess.
Well, we switch with the hemispheres. So right now we're wrapping up the southern hemisphere, and then usually
would that
towards,
be like Chile?
Yeah, Chile. We're getting some from Greece right now. A while back had one from Israel, which was a really interesting oil for us, Turkey. And then, you know, towards the end of the year, then the other hemisphere starts to produce, and then those are the oils that we pull. And that would lend us more to, like, California. They make an excellent Arbequina oil, which is a type of olive.
Arbequina.
Yes, one of my favorites.
You know, one of the oils I love buying at your shop is the Tuscan.
Yes.
I mean, Tunisian.
Harissa, Tunisian, okay.
The harissa.
Yeah.
I don't know that would be a pizza oil necessarily, unless you were going with something spicy, but that is just a fantastic
Yeah, it's
oil.
A very complex oil. It's got your typical Indian African type spices in it, and it's got a little bit of back end heat. I think it would be great on a pizza with some sausage and your artichokes. You could do that. It's one that if you like something that has a little bit of heat to it, that's a great oil for that.
So basically, the reason your oils taste so much better is because they're fresher.
They're fresher.
So yeah. Is a lot of the stuff, the bulk stuff, is it just get old in shipping containers or what?
It does. And in fact, there was, I think it was about a year or two ago, a whole episode on the Today Show, and it was talking about the olive oils that come into the U.S. And here, we don't necessarily have a regulatory system like what they have overseas.
Because it's such a big deal to them.
It's such a big deal to them, and it's a very, very regulated category.
Don't you think Americans tend to count on the FDA for all that stuff?
They sure do.
And that's the problem.
And that's part of the problem.
It is, because a lot of our foods, the way they're made, because of the FDA, they can't even sell them in Europe.
Right.
We put so many four-syllable concoctions in our food that Europeans won't eat it. They won't buy it.
And there's something to be said. You look at the length of life that the Mediterranean culture follows, mm-hmm. and their lifespan and their health is just way different than ours here in America. And I think there's something to be said about the amount of olive oil that they consume in their daily diet.
I think the two-hour lunch break is nice, too, though.
Well, the red wine, that glass or two of red wine a day that they have, maybe that does something. So.
Shoot, now I feel naked. I should have brought some wine. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys and The Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we are talking about pizzas on the grill with Shasta and Corey from Old World Olive Company, which is one of our longtime sponsors. And I think I've told you before, but when you guys stepped into our business, you changed a lot of my cooking methods. You just impacted, I guess, my judgment in so many ways. Your husband probably has.
Yeah.
No, but it's... now I'm such a freak about the oils. And I love the balsamics, too. I use them all the time, especially the 18-year and the grapefruit. Those are my go-tos. But the oils in particular, because there's oil in like everything you make.
Right.
So I guess if I have to use vegetable oil, I get all bitchy.
Yeah. I try to, as much as I possibly can, omit the vegetable oil and use extra virgin. And there are just, there are some applications where it just doesn't make sense to do that. But
Like if I'm making shish kebabs for 30 or 40 people, I'm just going to throw the Crisco in there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the really good oil because they won't notice.
My arteries are wincing right now, but...
Yeah, but they're only at the house for a few hours.
Yeah, right. True.
I feed the masses a lot.
Yeah, you do.
So sometimes I have to go with the budget things. But
you don't mess around with your food.
No. Let's talk a little bit more about building that perfect pizza for the grill. So we talked about heating the stone up.
Mm-hmm, very important.
Heating your smoker up, your grill. And even if it's a gas grill, you can get the same effect.
Right. You sure can.
The beauty of a pizza stone is you can set it right over your flames.
Yep.
And
get that solid,
get a great effect.
Heat. Yeah.
Let's say you've got an older, cheaper grill and your flame distribution's off. That's 60% of the people listening.
Right.
The pizza stone is just going to balance everything out.
Yep. It makes sure it's almost like the concept of a convection oven.
Right.
It just keeps that solid temperature. And if you can get that pizza stone in there and get that stone warmed up to that 550 temperature, you're going to have a great pizza crust every time.
I'm cooking on charcoal almost all the time.
I love charcoal.
I use my big Cajun grill.
Sure.
And matter of fact, I think I had the burgers on there. I streamed it last weekend when I was doing the burgers because, I don't know, I'm just a freak. I love looking at food. And people jump on right off the bat and they're like, oh, I can see them jumping onto the live stream. But years ago, when I started playing around with the pizza stone, Maureen makes a wonderful meatloaf. And I said, let me put that on the grill.
Oh, that's probably
and
good.
So I put it on the grill. I put the pizza stone on my old gas grill years ago. And I did that meatloaf on the pizza stone on the grill. And I threw some smoke on it.
Wow.
And it was my new favorite, to the point where... Pat Ringler up at Chase Creek Smokehouse heard that show and he tried it himself.
No kidding.
And it turned into like a mainstay of their business. It was like they have smoked meatloaf all the time now.
That's awesome.
Because it's just so good.
Did he put your name on it?
No.
Did he say it's the grilling guys?
No, that's okay. He treats me very well. But anyway, we will talk about pizza a little bit
more,
and we'll be right back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Hey, thanks for coming back. We're going to talk a little bit more about pizzas, and I'm joined again with Shasta and Corey from Old World Olive Company. And how many locations do you have?
We have four.
Four.
Yep.
Okay. One over in Plymouth?
One in Plymouth, one in downtown Rockford, one on Monroe Center right across from the Art Museum. And then one in the downtown market.
Yeah. How's the downtown market doing?
It's good. You know, we've all come out of a funky year.
Yeah.
And to say everything is fabulous and back
I love going there, though.
Oh, we do, too.
Yeah.
We love going there.
I would think your product would do really well there.
It does. It's been a good location for us, and I think it's a natural fit in a location like that.
Boutique.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot of cool, like fishmongers and all those guys.
Yeah.
You can get some great food down there, but... So let's talk about what you brought for pizzas and how you like to build a pizza.
Yeah, so I may be a little different than the ordinary, which you've told me many times, Bob, so I'm not surprised, right? But I like to kind of pre-cook that crust just a little bit.
I do too.
Because I don't like a doughy pizza.
Right.
The worst thing to me is you've got this beautiful looking pizza that you just pulled off the grill. You can't wait to try it. You cut into it, and the center's doughy.
And here's the deal. If you put, and I love a lot of sauce on a pizza.
I do too.
And if you put a lot of sauce on raw dough, you're going to have that bland.
It doesn't cook well.
And especially if, let's say your grill struggles to get to 450.
Right.
And you're really grilling at about 400. It'll still do the job. But there's the perfect time to pre-bake your crust.
Right. Absolutely. And so I think when you do that, you can, you know, the pizza stone is awesome. That's what I recommend that you do. That's what Michael Simon recommends that you do. I've seen where people just throw the dough right onto a grate that's been gently oiled. And I've seen that work before. My favorite is the pizza stone because it's an even cook.
There is a pizza shop up in Cedar Springs just north of you. Called like Stein Brothers.
Okay.
They reopened. They have the most beautiful crust you would ever want to eat in your life. I can't do a crust like that.
Really?
It's just real puffy on the outside.
Yeah.
But nice and crispy in the middle.
They must have that good 550 heat going on.
Yeah,
super fast.
And then what kind of flour are you going to use?
So you can use regular flour. I mean, you don't have to use a specialty flour, but you know, anything that is, I like to sift the flour out just a little bit. It makes it a little bit fluffier.
Get the rocks out of it.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, make it finer. And then, you know, you're adding your water and your yeast and kneading it and letting it rest.
When my daughter came over one of these times, she's, you know, she had just gotten back from Italy, I think.
Oh, nice.
And Emily. And she's one of our bakers, right? And she brought in a high protein, I want to say it was like saffron or something like that, and it was a yellow flour.
Sure.
And I found it just at the supermarket. But I used to go to King Milling, and my buddy Greg there would always get me a bag of their high protein flour. He'd get me like a 10-pound bag. It'd last me for a year or two.
Right.
But I think they're called Double Zero.
Yeah. And so, you know, there are pizza places around that I know of that use flour such as that. I don't know, you know, I don't know that industry
not
well enough.
Okay.
Yeah, to know if that's like commonplace.
Right.
But yeah, I have heard of that.
Yeah. And I guess what will happen is I'll get the inkling to have a pizza and I'll just make up some crust and I'm rushing it.
Right.
And that yeast hasn't fully activated, so it's kind of hard and chewy. And
right.
Everybody will say, oh, it's great, and I'm really unhappy with it.
And you're unhappy with it. Yeah. And, you know, we are our own worst critics on our food because we enjoy cooking and because we enjoy serving other people and showing our love through food, really. I'm the same way. It's got to be just right or I don't want to serve it.
So I guess one of the other things I like to do is I get kind of picky about the cheeses and the quantity of it. I like using three cheeses. I'll put mozzarella and I'll shred some aged provolone and then I'll shred some Parmesan and I'll mix those three together with, 60% of it being mozzarella.
Right. That provolone gives a nice... different stretch and texture.
Yeah, it's a little sharper too, because mozzarella can be kind of boring.
Can be boring.
And the Parmesan really spikes it up.
Yeah.
And I'm so hungry right now.
Right.
I could
tear brought in a portable grill or something, right?
So also, I guess you know we probably beat up some of these items enough, but I do believe there are. Corey brought up something really valid. I think the non-bread, because I think a lot of people are afraid of the dough. They'd make pizzas all the time, but they're like me, just dough hesitant.
Yeah, you know, that's your foundation. That really, it's like with anything, you got to start with something really good to put the rest of the toppings on.
If you think about, you know, these pizza shops, so they make up a giant vat of it at the time, and at a time. So, I mean, it can't be that hard.
Yeah. There's a little bit of technique.
I think making it a few days in advance is really the key.
Yeah, if you can get a 3-day rise on a dough, that's when we have found it. It just is.
So you typically do that Friday, then you make your dough for Sunday?
Yeah, and then we make it for Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you don't put it in the refrigerator.
You know, we'll put it in the refrigerator just to start and then pull it out and then let it continue to proof. It proofs easier and faster in just a normal, you know, room temperature condition.
So... you use naan bread sometimes?
Yeah. That's really a quick and easy secret. You can buy a naan bread at any of your local stores and we'll just brush it with some olive oil and put it on the grill, flip it both sides, get it just a little bit crispy and then put your toppings on.
You know, one of the chains I really love is Trader Joe's.
Oh, right.
And they sell several different doughs that I think I'll just give up on trying to perfect my dough recipe and just start buying it there all the time.
Well,
because they've got that herb dough, that herb crust.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, I mean, it's so cheap.
It takes the guesswork out.
It's the best.
But same technique with that. You got to let that come to room temperature because it's even though it's a pre-made dough.
It's in the refrigerator.
It's still in the refrigerator. It's got to come back down
so
to room temperature.
So you've bought it before.
Oh, yes. Yeah, in fact, we've bought just dough balls from many local pizza places here in town.
Okay, the Flat River Grill in Lowell is expanding.
Oh, wow.
The bar next door went out, and so they bought that. And they have a pizza there that my wife loves, and it's got sautéed onions. I don't know if it's not the Thai pizza probably, but that one's really good too. And it's caramelized onions, goat cheese, sun-dried tomatoes, and a balsamic on it.
That sounds
and it
delicious.
Is fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't think of which one it is. But they do some crazy things with pizzas like that, and I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love just we've got a place called Three Brothers, and they'll make, like, I'll get a 16 or 18-inch, and especially We usually get a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get one for the guys
right.
and one for the pickies.
That sounds like our pizza Sunday, yeah. right?
So it's just pepperoni.
Yep.
When our kids were little, they just wanted cheese.
Right. We went through that stage.
It broke my heart to buy a cheese pizza. It was like ridiculous. I think using the grill is just going to change your game in it. And I think if you can get around my personal imperfections of crust hesitancy.
Yeah, right.
Probably. So Trader Joe's, that might be the answer. Maybe I should quit struggling and admit that I'm a failure at crust.
Those are hard words.
If there's a support group for guys like me, just other than AA.
PA, Pizza's Anonymous.
All right, in the next segment, I want to go through a recipe that Emily uses, my daughter, and has perfected. And in the meantime, I'll text her and see if I can get the name of that flour. We're going to be right back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grilling guys, I tell no lies, and do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters, nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the grilling guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You gotta listen to the Grilling Guys Show. That's it.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys Pizza Special. It's Shasta's Pizza Corner. And we're gonna just pound the pizza to death until you have to have some.
You have to make one.
Yeah. I do like your idea about pre-cooking the crust, though.
Yeah.
When I was a baby cooker, I used to do that because I just had an absolute fit over doughy crust. But my daughter, Emily, which I've talked about a bunch, and she's not my favorite or anything. She's just like the best cook in the family. She surpassed me. Daughter Maggie's birthday was it's today.
Aww.
So we're gonna celebrate that.
Happy
and I don't want to leave her out of it,
right?
But it was Friday. I'm sorry. I got too many kids to remember all the dates. My wife's way better.
You have a whole football team.
Yeah. So she really wowed me with this technique that she learned from. She watches cooking shows, Martha Ray, all you know, you name it.
Did you mean Rachel Ray?
Rachel Ray, Martha Stewart.
There you go.
Ray, James Brown, all those guys. And so she has me get this special flour for it, and it was a yellow flour, and I wish I could think of the name of it, but I did buy it at the supermarket. It's not like real hard to get, but it's a high protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little freaked out about it because of the color, for one thing. You can't tell after you bake it. I mean, it's just gorgeous, and it's so tasty. But she put in a couple teaspoons of yeast and sugar and salt and then warm water. And she put all this with this flour in the mixer. And she mixed it in the mixer for like, I don't know, 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She didn't even proof the yeast.
And it just popped up, huh?
Yeah. So she put all the dry ingredients in and put the mixer on and just kept pouring the water in until it was to a consistency she wanted.
That she wanted.
And left that in there for like 5 minutes, and I'm thinking she's going to kill the yeast.
Right.
She's going to beat the crap out of the yeast, and it's not going to rise.
That's what I would think.
And I'll tell you what.
It's delicious,
I would never think about making a crust without using the mixer. Now, my wife has one of those big monster mixers, you know.
Right.
KitchenAid or something like
monster.
That. And it, yeah, so it'll handle the bigger batches like that. And that was just a cool trick. That was just a cool trick.
Yeah, it's a nice, easy way to do it, so you don't have to necessarily knead it, and you kind of put it in there and forget it for a little bit.
Yeah, and so that's just, again, I know I'm pausing and hesitating, but I got this secret to crust that I really have to figure out, and there's like nothing I can't make, and that one still defeats me.
I think that you are just struggling because maybe Emily makes a better pizza crust than you.
Well, she doesn't come up enough. If she'd just come up and make a bunch of crusts,
then you'd be all set, yeah. Right? You could freeze them and pull them out when you need them.
So let's talk about toppings for pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to fire up your Big Primo charcoal smoker, made in America, in Georgia. Put that pizza stone on there. Put your crust on there and let it smoke away for 5 minutes.
Right.
What are we going to put on top of that? Let's say we're going to use a pizza sauce and we're just going to buy it. Cantina or what's that
whatever
one?
Whatever your flavor of choice is.
Yeah,
there are
just
all
a decent pizza sauce. And Corey was talking about sauteing the vegetables.
Yes.
I don't do that.
So that's a great way if you want to jump your flavor up a little bit more. Raw veggies are great. They cook only so much when you put them in an oven or on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to cook so much, especially when you've got your temperature up to 5 or 550 and the pizza's really only in there for a small handful of minutes. So what we've done and we love to do is saute like onions. If you like onions on your pizza, saute them up with a little bit of oil.
And that's what they do with the Flat River Grill.
Okay.
So I think you're onto something.
And then
there.
Balsamic
I think
vinegar.
Corey's onto something.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah.
I think he's on something.
That's possible.
So I've noticed that when I'm putting artichokes on, Reese's sells artichoke.
Right.
And they have a marinated grilled artichoke. And you're absolutely right. That's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat a whole jar of them.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Costco has a really good marinated artichoke as well. But I find on pizza, sometimes you got to take those out of their container and just kind of let them get some of that extra moisture out so you don't
go back to
the same situation of a runny dough in the middle.
And the too much water on your pizza.
Right.
And I guess, another thing I would probably question is, how much cheese do you put on it? Because if you put too much cheese on it, your sauce never evaporates enough to really dry out. So maybe you can stage the cheese a little bit, too, and top it off at the end with your parm.
Yeah, and, you can also do a quick broil on it, too. You could pump that grill up even more. Or if you've got we've got another grill that's a KitchenAid built in outside. Mm-hmm. And that thing's got a broiler on it.
Really?
So you can pop the pizza right into the broiler and then just, knock that cheese up one more notch.
I thought you were going to say pop bajon. So how about, have you ever made a dessert pizza?
I have. And like you, I was not impressed with my dessert pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel better right off the bat.
See? There you go. You're not the only one. And this was actually a pre-made crust as well. I just couldn't get... I couldn't get the consistency the right way. Now I've had these pizzas, and I absolutely love dessert pizzas when someone else makes them.
So I have a chef friend, and he built a big pizza oven, and we used to go over there and just grill all night. We'd build pizzas. And he would literally buy his preloaded crusts from Gordon's. They were fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. They're like partially baked.
Okay.
And you just put your stuff on them, throw them in the oven.
So why are you not doing that with your dysfunction on your crust?
My therapist says, well, Maureen makes a great dessert pizza.
Does she?
And she'll make just a little crust. She'll pre-bake it. And then she'll mix up like some cream cheese with, I think, powdered sugar maybe.
Sure.
And she'll spread that on top and then cut up a bunch of kiwi and tomato or
strawberries. Maybe. Yeah, different fruit.
And that is a fantastic dessert pizza.
I love that
pineapple
dessert pizza.
Pineapple, blueberries.
Get the crust right.
Yeah. Well,
I may be going to Gordon's.
Yeah. That honestly, they're really good.
That's good to know.
And I was so impressed because the dude's a chef.
Yeah.
He's an instructor. We've had him on the show. He teaches at the Sekia Culinary College, and he still buys them.
That's awesome.
So why am I so hung up for crying out loud?
That just shows everyone you can do it.
This has been like a therapy session.
Yes.
I'm really sorry to put you all through this.
Wait till you see the bill.
No, I'm not sorry.
Oh.
So let's... beat the subject to death in the last segment, and it'll be out of our lives. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Today's Man Law, Man Law number 25, inspired by Corey. Being a pirate should be considered a manly job because pirates get two types of booty. again, sorry for torturing you with my dough therapy, but I feel better. So yes. As long as you all are taking part of my pain off, that's it's the least you can do for me so I can survive. I guess we should talk a little bit about, let's walk through an Old World Olive Company store.
Sure.
Let's say I want to build one of these pizzas on my grill. What am I going to buy from you?
So if I were you, knowing your dough adversion, first of all, I'd already have the dough, right?
It'd thanks.
Be proofing.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
And then okay. I would head out to my local Old World Olive Company store, whichever one's closest. I would probably pick up either, depends on where you're going to go with your pizza. Are you going to do a margarita pizza? Or are you going to do
that's what they call it at Flat.
Okay.
Margarita.
So that's
the one with the sauteed onions and the balsamic.
And maybe some basil on it and
yes.
tomatoes.
Yes.
Okay. And if they're using sun-dried tomato, that's a really nice and different spin.
I don't know that. It might be just a roasted tomato.
Okay. Well, still, that's a nice variation.
Yeah.
So for that, I would baste the crust after you've cooked it a little bit, flipped the sides on the grill. I would baste that crust with some basil, olive oil, and...
A little basil basting.
Yeah, basil basting. Yep, that's exactly what I would do.
Don't touch it, Corey.
And then... I would saute the onions. If some people like the traditional
margarita. I think they do that. Absolutely.
But I think, sauteed onion on that would be delicious.
And don't you saute that in like a good EVO and then some balsamic?
Yeah, and you could even still put the basil oil in if you want that nice every bite to have a little bit of basil.
You know the oil you guys have that blows my mind?
Which one?
Pesto.
Oh, right.
And that would probably be the one I would choose for a pizza.
That is such an easy oil. It's a lot like the
Tuscan
herb.
Absolutely perfect. I'll take that over Yeah. It's right up there with garlic for me.
Yeah,
now.
I think so too. It's a simple and go-to oil. It has all of the herbs already in it for you. It is literally one you can just pour on and you're done.
So now in your Rockford store, you recently just did a big change there.
Yeah, we did. So we opened what's called the Wave Shack, and it's on the very back end of the Old World Olive Co. in Rockford. So essentially we transformed our back room and made it into a kitchen.
Is that where you keep Corey now?
Yeah. Well, we used to
chain him up back there.
But now,
let him shave the ice.
We've got him in
I see he doesn't shave his face, so he could at least shave some ice.
Right.
Or is that how you shave the ice? You just rub it on your face?
Rub his face on it.
When I lived in Hawaii, shave ice was a big deal.
It's huge.
And I never was, you know, the guy that had to have it. But in Hawaii, all the youngsters had to have shave ice.
Well, it's a great alternative. It's a healthy alternative to ice cream.
Yes.
And it is not a snow cone.
Is it keto friendly?
Most of them have sugar, but we do have some sugar-free options as well.
Uh-huh.
So if you're trying to watch the sugar, that's
so
a good way.
So do keto diets not let you have sugar? That's why I'm fat.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
so
boy.
Tell us about the shave ice. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, we've been open just a handful of days now. We've had a great response
from
the
community. Heat.
In the heat. It's been great weather for shave ice. And
you just can't make them up in advance.
You can't make them in advance. Right. Right. But it's the coolest thing because there's a technique to it. You know, you've got to have the right machine.
Sure.
You've got to shave it just right so the ice is fluffy and not crunchy. The flavor it permeates all the way through. So every bite has a flavor, unlike a snow cone where you just
the top
have the top.
Sucks. You can't wait to get to the bottom.
Right. You suck all the flavor out of it, and then you're just left with ice crystals.
So have you ever thought about maybe having a loaded shave ice?
Yeah.
Where you hid like a piece of fruit or something in the middle? Or
Actually, though, when you said loaded, I was going a different direction. I was going into like wine slushies or alcoholic slushies because, you know, we've got that Rora, the outside refreshment area in Rockford.
Really?
So, yeah, that's maybe something down the line.
So you could do like a tequila shave ice.
Yeah.
Like a margarita shave ice.
We do have a margarita flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you could just have a little flask in your pocket and just top it off on your way out?
No, I mean, you know.
All right. Well, listen, we sure appreciate you joining us. And thanks for the therapy. I feel better, regardless of whether or not you do. This time, you're going to have to take one for this team. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, and you have a great weekend. Thanks.